You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Fear of Growing Old. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
Older people will do anything to avoid going to a nursing home. This statement is not the opinion of this speaker. This is a front page newspaper headline used by one of the most respected secular newspapers, The Wall Street Journal. The author of this well-documented article then explains in detail that as many in our population today get older, they begin to fear being placed in the nursing home, where they often lose their savings, lose their independence, and even lose the joy of life itself. It must be said that many of the rest homes, the retirement homes, and the golden age centers are some of the most modern and sophisticated living quarters being built today. However, there is also another side, a darker side to this story. Thousands of elderly now live in conditions so bad that these dwellings are on the verge of being officially condemned. This is the opinion of housing officials. But let's also listen to the real concerns of the elderly. It is not so much the physical conditions of the nursing home, they say, that the elderly fear. Their real fear is being removed from their family, isolated from their friends, and cut off from the communities where they have lived all of their lives. The fear of an uncertain and lonely future is a terrible nightmare to face. Older people in our society, however, are not the only ones who fear loneliness. Recently, a 9-year-old boy telephoned a hotline from underneath his bed. This frightened boy cried helplessly into the telephone. "I am home alone," he said, in a shaky and squeaky voice, "and I am hiding under the bed right now." Time magazine used this moving story as an attention getter. The editors were trying to dramatize one of the discouraging trends now sweeping through our society. 77% of U.S. children, according to Time magazine, or as many as 10 million children, are left alone at home every day of the week. Left alone, these children often seek companionship in the streets. For diversion from their loneliness, they lock their eyes and glue their minds onto endless hours of meaningless and sometimes even destructive television. The author of this stirring magazine article further explained that the number of children left alone every day is rapidly mushrooming. Now, it may be convenient for us to look the other way and to hope that this sad situation of our sick society will soon disappear. But we dare never forget that God Himself also sees these injustices, and there are very few things that stir up the holy wrath and anger of our gracious God more than when society remains indifferent to the plight of the helpless, the hopeless, and the lonely. The Old Testament of the Bible is very clear. Some of God's most severe judgments are directed toward those who claim to be religious and yet fail to help the helpless. God then graciously sends His wake-up call. He alerts, He upsets, and sometimes He even angers those who think only of themselves, those who turn up their cold noses of indifference. And so, my friend, let the increasingly confused conditions of our society be a solemn reminder for all of us, including you and me, that unless we in our society make some major changes in how we treat the often forsaken elderly, the abandoned children, and the helpless unborn, then God will deal with us, both as a nation and also as individuals. As you listen to this Bible-based message, may God's Spirit prick your conscience and stir your heart. God never operates in a vacuum. It is God's desire to work through you to reach the helpless, the discouraged, and the lonely. It is also for this reason that God wants you to know that He loves you and that He gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a perfect sacrifice to pay for your sins and mistakes, and that he now wants you to spend eternity with him in the glories of heaven. And so then, as you now contemplate your response to your gracious God's wonderful love for you, and as you now reconsider how you might be of service to your gracious God, be encouraged also to know that God himself is already reaching out to the dispossessed, the rejected, and the often abandoned children of our self-centered society. God's gracious love for children is clearly expressed by the psalmist who wrote, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." Through his prophet Isaiah, the Lord is offering words of encouragement unto all of you children who are listening today. Like a shepherd, God will tend his flock. In his arms he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. If you are a child or teenager listening today, then know one thing for sure. God loves you, and he wants you to grow up with hope. God wants you to be somebody, and he wants you to be a powerful and positive force in society. Most of all, God wants you to know that when you make a mistake in life, there is forgiveness for you, and there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that God loves children. Jesus openly demonstrated that he has a special place in his heart for little ones. In addition, the elderly are also never forgotten by God. We receive letters in our office of discouragement and echoes of loneliness from the scores of elderly who feel that they are forgotten. This may be how many of you elderly now feel as you sit in the loneliness of your home or the emptiness of your retirement quarters. But even when no one else is around, and even when no one else seems to care, then you can still have hope. Listen now to the inspiring words of the psalmist who prayed these words to God. O Lord, whom do I have in heaven but thee? And beside thee I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. Oh, what a powerful testimony of hope for all those of you who are now often lonely. And by the power of God in your most difficult times, say with great joy with the psalmist, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I have made the Lord my God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. The psalmist spoke these words centuries ago. However, those of you now feeling abandoned and alone can surely repeat these same words, I have made the Lord God my refuge. And so then, my friend, no matter what your age or circumstances, enabled by God's Spirit and empowered by his grace, begin today to build a foundation of faith. This foundation of everlasting hope is rooted deeply in God's clear revelation of our mortality. No man lives forever, and unless we accept this basic biblical fact, we can never prepare for eternity. This bold statement of man's sheer mortal limitations may not be popular in our arrogant generation, because, you see, the greatest deception of the devil today is his ability to get many people to believe that they will live forever. That life on earth does not go on forever is one of the clearest teachings of the Bible. Listen to the many multiple expressions of life's brevity as recorded in the Holy Scriptures, beginning with the first book of Genesis, chapter 47. Jacob confessed, "Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life." And in a similar way, we read that David, fleeing for his life, said to Jonathan, "But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is hardly a step between me and death." And again in 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, David confesses, "We are sojourners. Our days on this earth are like a shadow." During some of his most burdensome moments, Job confessed, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and come to an end." Again, Job said, "For we are only of yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are as a shadow. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil." Knowing also that life is short, the psalmist prayed, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or, if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Speaking of the brevity of life, King Solomon in his wisdom said, Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. The New Testament writer James echoes Solomon when he says, You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. And then he reminds all of us in 1994 that we are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Oh, after hearing all of these many clear statements from the Bible regarding the brevity of life, I am sure that you will agree that in His holy word, God is emphatic in warning that life is short, and yet in His grace, God is even more decisive that the funeral and the grave need never be the end. A moment ago, I read from the Bible several expressions of Job. Job confessed clearly the shortness of life, and yet in spite of his many burdens, Job was enabled by God to confess the blessed hope of Christ's life-guaranteeing resurrection. Job shouldered the burdens of life. Job faced the universal anxieties of death. And in the midst of all these struggles, God empowered Job to say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon this earth. And even though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and him will I behold, and yet not another. For his eternal hope, Job looked forward to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the long-promised Messiah. And in this hope, Job was not disappointed. Jesus was born. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was raised again to publicly demonstrate his power over sin and death. And to his followers, Jesus gave a glorious and eternal hope when he said, For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself, Jesus said, will raise him up on the last day. At the graveside, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, our Savior told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Dear friends, we have devoted the majority of this broadcast speaking to the many people that are lonely today. This includes children. It includes teenagers, middle-aged people who are alone, and also the elderly. Social statisticians now tell us that 33 million people suffer loneliness every day. This also includes many well-known and famous people. A worldwide champion ice skater who enjoyed money and fame privately confessed that in spite of everything that she had, she was still terribly lonely. A person may have dozens of contacts and even hundreds of acquaintances, but one needs more than contacts and much more than simple acquaintances. You and I, we all need a real and a true friend. We need a friend who will never ever leave and never ever let us down. This friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, for by his bloody death on the cross, Jesus demonstrated his love for you and me. He paid for our sins. By his Easter victorious resurrection from the dead, Jesus proclaimed his victory over sin, death, and also loneliness. This same crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ now wants to be your friend. This Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. This Jesus is now guaranteeing you the same promise that he gave his closest disciples when he gloriously ascended into heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, and he is saying to you at this moment, I will always be with you, even unto the end of the world. Dear Father in heaven, bless the lives of our many listeners today, especially be with those who are lonely and discouraged. Send your Spirit into their hearts. Drive out all demons of discouragement and despair. Almighty God, enable all people everywhere to see your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to love him, to trust in him for full forgiveness, and to know him as the answer to the terrible and haunting fear of loneliness. In Jesus' name we pray and we believe. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.